past few weeks, we're discussing the Simanim of Mashiach. This is a recorder. Not sure if they should be right next to each other, because sometimes the... Yeah. So there's a few more details, perspectives I wanted to add in regard to the Simanim of Mashiach. The Rambam writes, there's the signs of Cheskas Mashiach, when someone is assumed to be Mashiach. And then there's the signs, the things that he does that make him Mashiach Vadei, that make him for sure Mashiach. The signs of Cheskas Mashiach are really three things. There's regarding the Mashiach himself, his own personal level of Torah mitzvahs, that he should be someone diligent in Torah and involved in mitzvahs like David HaMelech. Then there is his hashpah on the Yidden, his influence on the Jewish people. As Rambam writes, it will compel the Jewish people to go in the ways of Torah, and he will mend the fences. Anything that there needs to be fixed in keeping of Torah mitzvahs, he'll make sure to do that. The third thing is fighting the wars of Hashem. Yilchem Melchamas Hashem. And fighting the wars of Hashem primarily refers to his work on Umi Soilam, on the nations of the world. Just like a king, when the king runs the country, there are two main aspects of his country. There's someone that, you know, there's Medina's Pnim and Medina's Chutz. There's dealing with the country inside, and then there's dealing with public, you know, relations with the countries around and making sure there's security. So Yaakov Kol Yisrael, compelling the Yidden to keep Torah mitzvahs, is Mashiach's pula in the Yidden themselves. Yilchem Melchamas Hashem is more the pula that he's going to make sure the security for the Yidden and Eretz Yisrael applies to the Mashiach's Melchamas with the nations around Eretz Yisrael, that there should be peace and security for the Yidden. So it's more Klapi Chutz. The Rebbe says in the Sikha, you could say the Melchamas Hashem is also Klapi Pnim. The fighting the words of Hashem, you could interpret it to mean that he's going to fight the words of Hashem, means that those Yidden that don't want to do Torah mitzvahs will fight them. But the Rebbe says it's more a pshetl. Rebbe says it's more simple to say the Yilchem Melchamas Hashem, fighting the words of Hashem, refer to Mashiach's job or on the outside, dealing with the nations around Eretz Yisrael. Then there is three signs that when all these three things are finished, he's for sure Mashiach. Rambam writes him also v'itzliach nitzach chalum eshesvivav. If he was successful and he conquered all the nations around Eretz Yisrael, that's the first step. The second step is v'von hamikdash b'mkoyme. He built a base hamikdash in his place. And the third step is v'kibetz nitche Yisrael. He gathered in the exiles of Israel. Harezah Mashiach b'vadei. Now he's for sure Mashiach. So there's a few points I wanted to mention, which I didn't speak about last time. One thing is,
you just reiterate those points
again. Cheskas Mashiach, he will be successful in his battles. He will successfully subdue all the nations around Eretz Yisrael. Second of all, I'll get to that soon. Then he will build the Beit HaMikdash in his place. Then he will gather in the exiles of Israel. Now, the Rebbe explains in many sikhis that the seder of the Rambam, the order how the Rambam places these simonim, is exact. In other words, the first thing that the Rambam writes is the first thing Mashiach will do. The second thing is the second thing. There's an order how it works. And, I mean, the Rebbe spoke about this in a very strong way regarding how we know Zionism is not the ultimate redemption. The Rebbe had two arguments. One was halachically and one was spiritually. And the halachic argument was that in order you can't say, they said, what do you mean you have the gathering of the exiles? That itself is Mashiach. The Rebbe says, no. The last thing Mashiach will do is gathering in the exiles. First, there has to be a yid, the Tzeigev Teira, basic mitzvahs. He has to be involved in Teira mitzvahs and compel all the Yidden to keep Teira mitzvahs and fight the wars of Hashem. Build the Beis HaMikdash. Only after he builds the Beis HaMikdash, that's when you'll have Kibbutz Golis, the true and complete gathering of the exiles, and then we know he's Mashiach. But the fact that people gathering in Eretz Yisrael in of itself doesn't make it a gula, doesn't make it a redemption yet. It might be a temporary relief from outside persecution, but it's not the promised redemption.
The
by the Eibishter. The Rebbe says that the Seder is Meduyik, that being a Beis HaMikdash comes before Kibbutz Nidchei Yisrael. The Rebbe himself says, it says, Avonim Mikdash Bim Koimim, Mashiach will build a Beis HaMikdash in its place. What means in its place? In its place means in Yerushalayim. He's building the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. There must be a lot of Yidden in Yerushalayim at that time. But nevertheless, even though there will be Yidden that will already have gathered in, so there's a small Kibbutz Goliath, it's still not, you don't know yet for sure it's the Gula. After the Bina Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach will gather in every last Yid, Yikabes Yidchei Yisrael. Only then you're going to have the promised Kibbutz Goliath, the ultimate, you can have a small, whatever you want to call it, as if in the Shainas of the Rebbe about it, it's a Tinon, they ain't of Kibbutz Goliath before, but the true Kibbutz Goliath takes place after Binyan Beis HaMikdash.
But the Rambam himself says that,
okay, so fine. Yeah, that will be a whole separate shiur, but the other argument that Rebbe said, has nothing to do with the shiur, but once I already mentioned, the other argument that Rebbe said, why Zionism is not Mashiach, the Rebbe said, if anyone understands the spiritual significance of what Mashiach is and what the Jewish people hoped for and waited for, that doesn't need much convincing. Like somebody said, you know, walking down Machne Yehud in Yerushalayim, you don't think this is what the Jewish people were dying for 2,000 years, you know, to be able to have, Israel the way we have it today. Besides all the spiritual things that we don't have there. Regarding this that you mentioned, I'll say it like this. So that wasn't the point of the shiur, but I think it's a very fundamental thing. In the laws of Mashiach, there are two things. There's things that the chiddush of the Rambam is in two things. The chiddush of the Rambam is that in certain things the Rambam gives an exact definition for. There's other things the Rambam himself says there is no exact definition. And each thing is betachlus hadiyuk, which means we have obligation to believe in Mashiach, not just obligation to believe in some general concept of Mashiach that we don't know exactly what it is, when it is, how it is. No, the Rambam is defining what Mashiach does and how he will appear and what he will do. And the Rambam defines Mashiach as the shleimus of Torah Mitzvah, the completion of Torah Mitzvah. And if you go through, I don't want to go through this right now, because it's going to be a whole separate issue. If you go through Perek Yud Aleph, the whole point of Perek Yud Aleph, if you sum it up in a nutshell, is one thing. That the job of Mashiach is to bring the completion of Torah Mitzvahs. And everything that he does, he builds the Beis HaMikdash, he gathers in the exiles of Israel, is all that it brings the completion of Torah Mitzvahs. And that's why the Rambam writes, Mashiach doesn't have to do miracles. And that's the whole basis that the Rambam goes on to explain what the simonim of Mashiach are, how you know who Mashiach is all based on the fact that he brings the completion of Torah Mitzvahs. Then the Rambam writes in Perikot Beis, when it comes to how, let's say Mashiach will wage wars. One of the wars that Mashiach will wage is Goyeg u'Magog. How he's going to wage that war, or if the war will happen physically or spiritually, things like that, we don't know how it will happen. But when we have to believe in Mashiach, the Rebbe says if we don't have a clear definition of what Mashiach is, we can say Mashiach already came. That's what people were trying to say. Those that believed in Zion, you know, religious Zionists, they said, listen, Rav himself writes, we don't know what's going to happen. So the Rebbe said, if that's the case, if there's no exact definition of what Mashiach is, maybe Mashiach came 2,000 years ago, there has to be a clear definition of what Mashiach is. So those things that the Rambam writes clearly how they will happen, have to happen exactly that way. Those things that the Rambam writes, and the Rambam writes, why do I say that those things he tells you, don't waste your time, don't spend your time being mind these things. Why? He says, how exactly it's going to happen is not Iker Bedas, which you could explain to me, it's not negated to Yiddishkeit. Mashiach is the Iker Bedas, Mashiach is one of the 13 principles of faith, because Mashiach will bring the Shleimus of Torah Mitzvahs. How the war of Goyeg u'Magog is going to happen is not negated to Shleimus of Torah Mitzvahs. If Eliyahu Novi will come now, will come later, it's also not negated to Shleimus of Torah Mitzvahs. Those things that are negated to Shleimus of Torah Mitzvahs, those things are Iker Bedas, and that you have to know exactly how it's going to happen. If you don't know exactly how it's going to happen, you don't know who is Mashiach, when is Mashiach. So those things that Rambam writes in Perek Yud Aleph, the Rebbe was very adamant about it, that's Bediuk. It's only those things in the Perek Yud Beis that Rambam writes, if there will be change of the Minhag Yishol Olam, change of nature, there won't be change of nature. When the Eliyahu Novi will come, what's going to happen by Goyeg u'Magog, these things, Rambam writes, these things are not important. So anyway, getting back to discussing the simanim of Mashiach. The first, the Rebbe says that the Seder of how Mashiach will do these things are exact. Now, primarily the big nafkimin which the Rebbe highlighted many times, like I mentioned before, with that because the building of the Beis HaMikdash comes before the gathering of the exiles, so therefore, that's the clearest proof, the Rebbe said halachically, that Zionism can't be Mashiach, because you don't have a person that's like the Torah basically mitzvahs that's compelling all everyone to keep Torah mitzvahs and building the Beis HaMikdash and gathering the exiles of Eretz Yisrael. But besides that, those two things, being in Beis HaMikdash and keep the Sidchei Yisrael, those of the last two simonim, the Rebbe applied the same rule for all six simonim, that everything, the sixth thing that will have to be diligent in Torah and involve the mitzvahs and compel the Yidden to keep Torah mitzvahs, wage the wars of Hashem, build and be successful, okay, well, let's go together in the wars, and build the Beis HaMikdash and gather the exiles of Israel, this is exact seder how it will happen. Now, I'll make a clear disclaimer, which Rebbe himself said. Rebbe said that in a situation that Mashiach comes in a way of Zochun, a miraculous way, which then things will be totally supernatural, so the Rebbe says it could be. The Rebbe has devised as a little bit of a sophist. The Rebbe says, L'choira, you could say that exact Seder, the way it's in the Rambam, won't have to be this way. Mashiach, we all come, Banani Shmai, the clouds of heaven, Eretz Yisrael, so it could come before the Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis. Something gay, then exactly the Seder, but the Rambam is discussing within the parameters of Halacha. Halacha's dealing has to take into consideration, even if Mashiach doesn't come in a way of Zoch, in a way of miracle. So then, the Seder has to be followed, the Seder of the Saman of Mashiach has to be followed to the exactly. So, the Rebbe, what I'm going to say now, a few points I can say is 100% clear in the Rebbe's Sichas, but I think there's somewhat of a mashmos implication for a few of the points I'm going to say further. One thing the Rebbe says clearly is the first simon of Mashiach is that he's hoigeh b'Torah, he's involved in Torah. And the Pashtus, we can understand why is the first sign of Mashiach, because, you know, in order for Mashiach to be the one, the Torah prophesies Mashiach has to be a righteous king. If Mashiach is not going to be involved in Torah and doing mitzvahs, he might be successful in some words that he does, but you know for sure that's not the one that the Torah promised us. Torah promised Mashiach, somebody that's going to be a righteous king, that, you know, all the great things that it says about Mashiach, obviously in his own personal life, he has to be involved in Torah mitzvahs. If not, he might have temporary success, whatever it is, but he's not going to get anywhere, because the Torah, the Eibishah is not going to give him pech to finish off the job. So obviously Mashiach, in his own personal life, we could understand, has to be someone that's involved in Torah and mitzvahs properly. But there's a deeper point here. The Rebbe says the koyach that Mashiach is going to have to do his, in other words, the fact that Mashiach is hoigeh b'Torah v'eisek mitzvahs, is involved in Torah and doing the mitzvahs, this gives the koyach to Mashiach to go ahead and do the rest of his things. Not just, it's the first thing, but it's also what gives Mashiach the koyach to be successful in the rest of the thing. Because Mashiach is diligent in Torah, you have, for example, in a similar way, it says by David HaMelech. David HaMelech was involved in Torah, and Yoav would go, his general Yoav ben Tzvi would go fight. So it says, L'moli David, L'yosa Yoav Mulchama. Each one needed each other, basically. David, Yoav was only successful on the merit of David HaMelech's learning Torah. And David HaMelech was able to learn Torah because Yoav went to war. So the Rebbe explains, David HaMelech, the Koyach, why was Yoav winning in the war? Because David was Isaac for Torah. So the koyach that Mashiach will have to be successful in his missions because he's going to be involved in Torah. And the Rebbe adds a word that Torah is higher than world. Torah is higher than world. It's able to change the world. So because of Mashiach's complete dedication to Torah, which is higher than the world, that will give the Mashiach the koyach to bring about the gula b'poel mamish, to break the boundaries of the world, to break the walls of Golos from Mashiach. Then, the next two things is Mashiach versus the Jewish people, and Mashiach versus the nation of the world. And here also there's the exact Seder. First, Mashiach will influence the Jewish people, and then he'll wage war. Why is that Seder have to be exactly that way? The Rebbe doesn't explain in the Sichas. L'choyre yesh loymar, two things. First of all, there's some mafreshim that say that the job of a king, there's two general jobs of a king. To make justice in the land, to make sure he didn't keep Torah mitzvahs, and to wage war. Which one out of those two is the main job of a king? Which one is the main job of a king? So, those that say the main job of a king is mainly mishpat. Muhammad, he does war if he needs to do war. But what is he doing most of the time? Take a look at Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo didn't have to wage war. What did he do the whole time? He was sitting and judging the Yidden, making sure they have famous stories, you know, the different wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech, he would judge Yidden. He did Mishpat more than he did Muhammad. Says Muhammad, the main job of a king is to do Mishpat. L'chayda, you could say that a few points you could say here. Again, it's a little bit of a derechasher, but I think there's enough mashmal to say this, that the first thing Mashiach has to do in order to bring the gula is you have to affect the world. It's not like, that's also a very crucial point that Rambam is trying to make. You can have a person, let's say take Bar Kochba. Bar Kochba, he went and he waged war. Was he so much involved in making sure he didn't kept Torah mitzvahs lav dafka? It's not fully clear, but what he's definitely known for is that he was waging war. His primary goal when he came on the scene wasn't necessarily to make sure he didn't keep Torah mitzvahs. But from the Rambam comes out that that's not the way Mashiach will do his pulas, even though the Rambam brings Bar Kochba, but in the game, this prat, Rambam clearly. Yeah, so I'm saying it's not clear. Right.
Yeah. In fact, his learning was his success because of his learning.
Somebody asked the Rebbe once.
Yo-Yo wasn't learning. David HaMelech was learning. I don't know.
Rebbe once, somebody asked the Rebbe, how could Rabbi Akiva thought by Kochba's Mashiach if Mashiach had to be bring Shlomo's Torah mitzvahs? The Rebbe said that Rabbi Akiva thought that in the beginning Mashiach doesn't have to do that. Huh? The Rebbe said that the answer is printed in Igros Kodesh. So in other words, the way the Rambam paskins la halacha is that Mashiach, before he does Muhammad, is going to be Yaakov Kol Yisrael. In other words, Mashiach's job, he has to show that you know, when he's starting off, his goal is not just to wage war and to make Jewish independence. His goal has to be clear from the onset that his goal is Shleim Tzatayra Mitzvah. The first thing he does is Yaakov Kol Yisrael. He brings him to do Tzatayra Mitzvah.
Chizkiah.
Huh?
Chizkiah was that way. Forget, he didn't want it. They should have promised him on his land some kind of will kill. He didn't. He said they should take him away from him. He can't do all he did. What's this one?
Yeah.
He said, no, what happened? Because his was in was that there's not a child went through, didn't do it.
Right. There's another Nakoda which, based on what the Rebbe says also, is that in order for Mashiach to wage war and be successful in his waging war, he needs Yidden to fulfill the mitzvahs. Why are we in Galus? The Rebbe says, why is Mashiach going to compel Yidden to fulfill the mitzvahs, besides the fact that Mashiach is a king and that's the job of a king? But because in order to bring the Gula, you have to take away the Sibasach, it has Sibasach Galus, you have to take away the reason of Galus, just so we don't keep Torah mitzvahs. So before Mashiach is going to wage war, you need to have you can keep in Torah mitzvahs. If not, he won't. You know, you need to first have the Yisoid before you're able to, you know, be able to go further. The famous Sichah Rebbe when they came out with Mitzvah Neshek, he was saying about David, and I think he brought that. I think he mentioned that one. He said Al Derev Zer that the Nadel of us Sintan Licht give the Kriach to Derev says Leichem Lachemus Hashem that he should be successful. The small girl that's lighting a Shabbos candle, she's the one that gives the power. She empowers the one that's waging the words of Hashem to be successful. So you see, you need to have the Jewish people keeping the Torah mitzvahs before Mashiach goes out to them. That's another reason why l'chayra, the idea that the fact that Mashiach will compel people to keep Torah mitzvahs comes before waging the war. There's one other point that you could say, which is that Mashiach will be completely devoted to Torah mitzvahs. When Meila, if somebody is completely kosher Torah mitzvahs like Mashiach, his first goal is make sure another kid keeps Torah mitzvahs. Where does he start? He wants to bring Shleim Zayda Mitzvahs. Where do you start with bringing Shleim Zayda Mitzvahs? Somebody wants, he's going to start fighting with a guy. He's going to start with Yidden to make sure they have Zayda Mitzvahs. The next step is when Yidden are keeping Zayda Mitzvahs, there's going to arise plenty of goyim or people that are going to try to stop. So then Mashiach will go even the next step and wage wars of Hashem. But Mashiach is starting from Zayda Mitzvahs. He himself is saying the Zayda Vesak Mitzvahs and he's trying to implement it.
It sounds
Huh?
It sounds more like it. Depends what the situation is. The matzav ha'ilam basher hu is what we have. But if matzav ha'ilam is that we cannot be kaim keder mitzvahs unless you wage war against goyim, because they're b'niyah. Twice at the times of Stalin. So then there's a need to wage war against the government. If you remember. But if the matzav is that it's not, then you start dead. Then we may have the goyim name, but come on.
Okay. Sure, it's not fully clear, but from the Rambam it's still mashma that the Indian of Yaakov somehow is going to precede Yilchem Lachemes Hashem. The Rebbe clearly says a number of times. Yeah, the Rebbe clearly said a number of times and say that it's Meduyik. That the Rebbe said that Mashiach will be he'll start off Yaakov Kol Yisrael. If a goy will try to intervene, but Mashiach Muhammad will help him with them. In other words, Kilu, he's starting off, he didn't keep in Torah mitzvahs. Then he's going to go further, you know, to whatever, whichever way you want to learn. But I was, what I said is more or less without a chashev, but I think there's
this is called, it's two different drachim. Yaakov Kol Yisrael has a bit, and Yaakov Mechavis Hashem is two different. I really didn't know. I always learned.
I'm saying if you learn Muhammad Hashem, that's why I'm saying the Rebbe said the Sicha of Achin Shal Pesach Tav Shalom. It's Achin Shal Pesach, then the Shabbos afterwards. The Rebbe said there are words. That lately they printed it in Lashon HaKodesh, but I don't know if this word came out so clear. The Rebbe said that this was Mashiach V'Zayin Yaakov is Klapi Pnim. Yilchem l'chemes Hashem is klapi chutz. Rebbe said, you could also say it's klapi pnim. He's fighting those. Rebbe said, it's not fully clean. Well, Rebbe said, but that's what pshatel. The ikar is, it's mashma. You could learn both, but it seems that that the ikar, yilchem l'chemes Hashem, I mean, if you take the Rambam kipshutei, when Rambam says by, Moshe Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Melachim, said about a melech that was that he I mean, there you take like David HaMelech, he brings the pasuk David HaMelech Chamis Hashem Adoni Nucham. What Muhammad was David HaMelech fighting when Abigail told him that Muhammad Hashem Adoni Nucham? He wasn't fighting the Yidden, he was fighting the Plishtim, wherever it was.
It's not necessarily. It's not the Diuk only.
Right.
It's a Muhammad.
Yeah, maybe if I have time, I'm not gonna. I'll get to that soon. Now, okay, I spoke about this a little last week, a little bit. I wanted to add a little bit more. It says that the Rambam writes, the fact that we compel you to go into the mitzvahs, okay, I spoke about this also last time. It'll start off peacefully. If we'll need to use force, then we'll use force. If we'll discuss, if we'll have to use force, we'll have to use force. You know, the Rebbe, you know, different, but I mean, definitely Mashiach will definitely reach a point where he'll be completely able to use force if he needs to, so to say, to make sure he can keep Torah mitzvahs. The next thing that Rambam writes will wage the words of Hashem. What are the words of Hashem that Rambam doesn't tie choice? The only thing he does say, when he speaks about when he's successful, he says, if he was successful in conquering all the nations around him. So it's clear that the Rambam, part of the words of Hashem, that the Rambam, at least part of the words of Hashem that the Rambam was referring to right before that, is the nations around Eretz Yisrael. Now, there is, if you look in plain halacha, there are two types of war. When the Rambam categorizes what the wars that a king has to fight, there's the wars that are called Muhammad's Mitzvah, wars that are Mitzvah, wars that I mentioned this last thing, and wars that are the Shus, voluntary wars. Wars that are mitzvah are three wars. One is to conquer the seven nations that inhabit it, so to kill them out. One is to wipe out Amalek. The third one is to save Yidden from enemy that's attacking them. Then the Rambam writes that wars that are just to laharchiv gvul Yisrael, to broaden the land of Israel, laharbis kolosiv yishimoy, to make the king's fame and glory spread far and near, that is called Muhammad Sarashus. That is called a voluntary war. Now there's a Gemara, and that the Masech Tosfot, the Gemara says that the Gemara mentions three types of wars. One is a war where you're fighting to conquer Yisrael or to attack, you know, an enemy that's coming to attack you. One is a voluntary war, you're just fighting to add land, like David HaMelech, he conquered certain areas, Poshet L'Harchovet, to have more space. Then there's wars, the Gemara says, L'miyuti akum d'loy leisi alayu. The Goyim are not attacking you, but you are attacking them first. They're not planning on attacking you imminently. It's not really a preemptive strike in the literal sense of the word. You're just attacking them first. You just want to knock them out, that they should never be able to come at you in the future. The Gemara calls this war a Muhammad HaRashus. The Gemara calls this war a violent. It's not a mitzvah to fight this war. The Rambam, the way most opinions in the Rambam learn is that the Rambam also considers it a Muhammad HaRashus. The Rambam doesn't clearly identify this type of war, but the Mefarshim learn, the Lachamish and others, the most Mefarshim learn that according to the Rambam, this is also a Mulchan, it's not a mitzvah. So now, let's talk about Mashiach a second. The Rambam says Mashiach is going to conquer the nations around Eretz Yisrael. Why is Mashiach conquering the nations around Eretz Yisrael? So there's two ways you can learn. We don't know how these wars are going to take place. One way you can learn is that these nations will gang up on the Yidden. You take the Moshe Goy Gomorgi, the classic, you know, war of Goy Gomorgi is that the nation, not only the nations Sviva, the nations around Israel, but all the nations of the world, or at least nations facing far out, will come to fight the Yidden. So if they're coming to fight the Yidden, it's definitely a Mulchemes Mitzvah, definitely a Mitzvah to save the Yidden in self-defense. But when the Rambam writes, will fight the nations around him, Lav Dafke, he doesn't say, it's not clear if they're coming to attack Mashiach. Mashiach is going to go and fight them to make sure, you know, that the Leman Lo Yerim Uresh, in the future, they should never attack him. From the way the Rebbe learns, it's mashma a little bit the second way, that the Mashiach, the Rebbe says that in order that Yidden should be able to do Tzeira Mitzvahs in complete security, they shouldn't have any outside disturbances. So Mashiach will wage war with nations around Eretz Yisrael, Pasha, to make sure, you know, to knock out their infrastructure, thus they shouldn't never dare start over the Jewish people. So now, if you learn from plain halacha, if that's called the Mechamis Mitzvah or not, I don't know. But the idea of waging the wars of Hashem is a term which some places the Rebbe says only a Mechamis Mitzvah. But there's other places the Rebbe says, no, the other places the Rebbe says, the Rebbe has one very interesting sicha, maybe going off topic, but the Rebbe says, Kainam and Levim didn't go out to war. They didn't have a part of the land in Eretz Yisrael. They had given, every Shevet gave them certain cities, but Kainam and Levim, their job was to be in the Beit HaMikdash, their job wasn't to work the land, they didn't go out to war. The Rebbe has interesting chiddush that wars that are laharchiv gvul Yisrael, wars that are to broaden the gvul of the Eretz Yisrael, dear Kainim and Levim do have a chelek in those countries that they conquer. And the Rebbe says the fact that they have a chelek in those countries seems to imply that they actually go out to war. The Rebbe says when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, they don't go out to war. When it comes to chelek to conquer Afghanistan, then they are going out to war. So the Rebbe says interesting thing. The Rebbe says when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, you could look at it, the purpose of the war is, this is the land of the Yidden. It's, you're fighting for the land, so to say. So this is the land of the Yidden. Kainam and Levim, they didn't have a outright portion for them. You know, every Shevet gave them cities. They didn't mamash have their own territory. So there was no reason for them to fight. But the Rebbe says when the king fights a Mulchemes HaRishus, when the king fights a voluntary war, what's the real purpose of the war? His personal fame and glory should spread far and wide. The Rebbe says, B'pnimius, his war is Mulchemes HaShem. It's not his fame and glory that the king is interested in. He's talking about a true Jewish king, obviously. He wants that godliness should spread around the world. So the war that he's doing to wage against other countries, that is Amish Muhammad Hashem, that is war of Hashem. And this war, it's not for the purpose of conquering land, just for the purpose of Muhammad Hashem. So Kainam and Levim also participate. Very interesting Chiddush of the Rebbe. It's in the Chelek Chav Gimel. I found it too. The Chelek Chav Gimel Matis. One of these parts. Maybe not. I'll look it up later. So, in other words, the Rebbe learns the term waging the war of Hashem doesn't necessarily have to mean a war that's obligated by halacha that he must do. A war which is done in order to make sure that godliness and getlichkeit is able to flourish and there's nothing is opposing godliness is also the war of Hashem. So the Rambam writes, the Mashiach will conquer the nations around Eretz Yisrael, even if halachically a king doesn't have obligation to conquer them, but nevertheless it's still Mulchemes Hashem, the war of Hashem. That's one thing. And I mentioned last week also one thing which is clearly a Mulchemes Mitzvah, war of Mitzvahs, Amalek, that Mashiach, right now we can't kill Amalek for three reasons. First of all, according to some opinions, you need to have a king. We don't have a king to do it. Second of all, even if certain opinions hold, you don't need to have a king. It's a mitzvah on the Jewish people as a whole. But nevertheless, first of all, we don't have the power to do it. If a guy will, somebody will go and kill Amalek, he'll be behind bars. Second of all, we don't know who Amalek is. So a Mashiach will come, we'll have a king. The Jewish people will have power. A Mashiach will be able to identify who is Amalek, so then he'll finish waging the war with Amalek. That's an interesting tag in Menus and Benuziel on the Pasuk Reishis Goyim Amalek Vachrisei Adayovid that he writes that when Mashiach will come, Amalek will come to wage war with the Yidden together with all the countries that it says, no Goy Gomog, and thus Amalek will come to wage war with all those countries and he'll be wiped out together with them. So this time Mashiach will wipe out Amalek, it's not going to be necessarily the Mashiach will have to go and you know, a preempt, it will be they'll come to attack and then Mashiach will wipe them. But now, regarding the wars of Hashem, the Rambam writes to conquer the nations around him. The truth is, like you mentioned before, the Rambam himself writes, Mashiach will rule the whole world. He says, V'karka kol v'nei sheis. So this also, this is an area which is not clear, because first of all, it could be there will be stages. It doesn't necessarily mean that in order for somebody to be Vadi Mashiach, he has to conquer the whole world at one shot. As long as he establishes secure independence in Eretz Yisrael and all the nations around him are shaking from him, it could be that halachically it's good enough. The fact that he'll eventually rule the whole world, for example, you have Keni Knezer Kadmoni, you have the extra three lands that Mashiach will conquer. When is he going to conquer them? Will he conquer them right away? That Rebbe also, by the way, learned as a Muhammad's mitzvah, to conquer Knei Nefis Kadmoni. But when is Mashiach going to conquer them right away, or he'll conquer them later? So, it's not clear, but it's room to say, the Rebbe, we know in all the Sikhas, the later years, the Rebbe said, first of all, the Rebbe said, we won't need a war, the Goyim will give it to the Yidden. And the Rebbe says, you come to Eretz Yisrael, we have the whole Eretz Yisrael, including the three additional lands that will come when Mashiach will come. But again, let's talk from a pure halachic perspective. Mashiach, one of the proofs for Mashiach is the Ari Miklat that will be added in those three lands. When is Mashiach going to add those, conquer those lands? Not fully clear. The Rebbe himself said, first we'll have the seven nations, then we'll have the extra ten, then the other two nations, then we'll have Nachal of Limit Sodom.
Because that's why you need the Chalal or a Miklat if it's
right, yeah.
You need right.
And then there's a mime of the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe says, Now, Rebbe has an interesting thing in a mind where he said that it depends if Mashiach comes, Bitar Achishana. If Mashiach comes, Achishana, the Yidden will right away inherit Keni Knitzi Kadmoini. If Mashiach will come, Bita, Keni Knitzi Kadmoini will be wiped out, but the Yidden won't actually live there. It gives a whole bit of Yichzid, which I don't want to get into right now. So, this is also another thing which is not clear. But I would mention that how Mashiach will wage the wars is also. Kragel, the Zachu and Loi Zachu. The Igros Moshe writes, it says, even the wars that other, like you mentioned before, Yechizkiyahu, with Sancheidev. Sancheidev Melech Asher brought hundreds and thousands of troops to conquer Yerushalayim. And one night, Abishah killed them out. Yechizkiyahu Melech told Abishah, Ani Yoshin Al Mitas, Yechav Mishkin Koyach, to fight, I have no Koyach even to dab, and I'm going to sleep. It was the first night of Pesach, after the Seder, he went to sleep. And Abishah wiped out the whole Machan Asher. So, you have also other wars, even David and Goliath, and David killed Goliath, could he call that Derech HaTeva? Was that the Derech HaTeva victory? He threw a stone and he killed him. Obviously, it was also, there's a lot of miracles involved. So even if you're going to learn that Mashiach will wage war, in order to conquer the, you know, you need to have miracles. I want to speak more about this, but I'm not going to be able to elaborate. I'll just finish one word that I heard from, it's been there already, but I verified by Rabbi Shmuel Loom. There was a group of students from some England that went into Yechidus of the Rebbe once, right before Shavuot Tov Shem Chav Gimel. And it was a rabbi, and the rabbi, and they spoke about Mashiach, and the Rebbe said that he could explain Mashiach. He said his way of explaining how Mashiach will rule the world is something. I forget exactly how the conversation went, but the Rebbe said, imagine someone that comes up with a way that he can neutralize all weapons in the world. Such a person rules the world. If somebody is able to come up with a science that he can neutralize every single weapon, such a person you can't fight. So the Rebbe said, I can bring you a marshal of a person who could rule the world. So the guy said, you know, it's interesting, Rabbi. He said, I thought the Mashiach is always something which is supernatural. Now I see you can explain. The Rebbe said, truly it is supernatural, but I'm just giving you a marshal so that you'll be able to bring a little bit closer to your intellect and understand. And you can just have a pale mamish, scholars, welcome, Mashiach.